أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد والصلاة والسلام على أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين المنتجبين لا سيما بقية الله روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء وعجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف ولعنة دائمة على أعدائه من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين ما بعد رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي Alhamdulillah, we continue this evening in the blessed month of Ramadan. Session number 17, as we review chapter number 47, which is Surah Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. And tonight we'll be looking at verses number 29 and 30. And also because tonight is the, we'll be going on to the 19th night of the month of Ramadan after Maghrib. So we will also, be at the end of the program, just mention a bit about the martyrdom of Imam Ali alayhi salam as well this evening to close this session. So as you recall, this is going to actually be a continuation of our discussion on the hypocrites and their characteristics. One of the main themes that Allah has brought forth in chapter 47, in addition to obviously the believers and the non-believers. So Allah is continuing to show us some of the characteristics, the signs of hypocrisy. How do we tell who is a hypocrite? As we've been saying, that it's very difficult as believers for us to tell who is a hypocrite, unless we study the Quran and the Hadith, which will give us a picture of what is hypocrisy, what do hypocrites act like. Because we can't tell by their outward appearance. Hypocrites could have wearing Islamic clothing, they could look like Muslims, they could speak like Muslims, they eat the food that Muslims eat, they go to Hajj, they go for a ziyarah, they do all of the actions that a regular believer will do. So it is difficult to define or to determine who is a hypocrite. And Allah has in the Quran given us some indicators, and also the Hadith, goes into a bit more detail for us to be able to tell who actually is a munafiq compared to who is somebody who is maybe struggling to fully surrender to Allah. Because we also saw a group that Allah determined or Allah mentioned had a marad, a sickness in their hearts. And so we don't want to obviously confuse the two, because you may have people who have a sickness in their hearts, but they're trying to become better believers. They're weak iman, as Allah had shown us previously. So moving on for tonight, verse number 29 is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَمْ حَسِبَ الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ أَنْ لَنْ يُخْرِجَ اللَّهُ أَذْهَانَهُمْ. Or do those in whose hearts is a sickness think they will not bring to light their malice against the divine religion and the followers? So here Allah is talking about those who have that sickness in their heart. And Allah is kind of putting them more towards, at least this particular group, towards those who have a sickness but who are not wanting to change themselves. So they are basically borderline hypocrites, but they are moving towards nifaq and leaving that sickness in their hearts. So Allah is saying that, these people who have this sickness, do they think that Allah will not expose them in the society? Right? Hypocrisy can only get a person to a certain level. You may be able to win friends, influence people, have power in a society as a munafiq, but Allah is showing that Allah will, He can, and He will expose those people within the society. Sooner or later, they will, say something wrong, they will do something, they will go somewhere, they will be seen with some people that will expose their hypocrisy. Right? And Allah is showing us that He can do that, He can bring them to light. Right? And obviously we look at this in different angles, but Allah is showing us as believers at one level that look, there are hypocrites around you, both who are speaking to the Prophet, the companions at the time of the Prophet and the generations after them. And also Allah is speaking to us that don't think that Allah will allow these people to stay how they are. Eventually, again, their hypocrisy will shine and it will be seen for everybody. There's an interesting word Allah uses, adhanahum, their malice, as is translated, as one of the characteristics of a munafiq. It's interesting, this word only comes in the Quran two times, both in this chapter, in this verse, And then in a couple of verses later, and it's again a very unique word, again for that reason, you know, many times Allah will repeat multiple words in the Quran, like fi kulubihim marad. That word marad, the sickness in the hearts, Allah speaks about it many times, not once or twice, but multiple occasions. But this word only comes twice, and then in this chapter about this specific group of hypocrites that were around Rasulullah in the city of Medina. And the way the scholars defined it is that these were hypocrites that had a strong hatred in the hearts for the Prophet. And again, we know that there were some people who were opportunistic, who only came into Islam because it suited their political ideology, it benefited them economically, it gave them some social status, which they would not have had they stayed on the path of idolatry. So they had this intense hatred in their heart for the Prophet and the believers, and they were always trying to find an opportunity to attack the Muslims, to attack the Prophet, to make snide comments, to make rude remarks, to get people to begin to lose their care and love for Rasulullah and for the cause of the religion. So the Quran reminds the Muslims, and it warns the hypocrites in this verse, that they won't be able to maintain this identity forever. Right? As I said, that sooner or later, truth will come out, because Allah tells us in the Quran, وَقُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقِّ وَزَحَقَ الْبَاطِلِ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوكَ, that the truth has come and falsehood has vanished, and falsehood is something which will always, always vanish. It will never stay forever. There will be ebbs and flows in history. Haq will be prevalent at one time, and then it will take a back seat, and then batil will take over. But because batil is by its very nature the antithesis, the complete opposite of Allah, of the Haq, and Allah is the Haq, and He will always prevail, batil will eventually go. But obviously, Allah won't do it on His own. He expects us as mu'mineen to be at the forefront of the struggles to ensure that Haq is given its rightful place in the world, and that batil is destroyed in the world as well. Going on to verse number 30, the second verse for tonight, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ نَشَاءُ لَأَرَيْنَاكَهُمْ فَلَعَرَفْتَهُمْ بِسِيمَاهُمْ وَلَتَعْرِفَنَّهُمْ بِالْقَوْلِ. Allah says, had we willed, if we wanted to, Allah is saying, we would have shown them, meaning the hypocrites, to you, the Muslims. We would have shown them, you would have seen the hypocrites. And Allah says, you would have known them by what He says is by their marks, bisimahum, right? Their faces. You'll be able to tell in some way that this is a hypocrite. Allah, if He wanted to do it, He could easily transform a person or have some kind of an indication that this person is a hypocrite. It would make things much easier. But Allah says, He gives us an indication. He says, وَلَتَعْرِفَنَّهُمْ فِي لَحْنِ الْقَوْلِ. But you will certainly know them by the false tone of their speech. And Allah knows your actions. So here Allah is saying that if He wanted, He could tell easily, is this a hypocrite or not? Have some symbol on their face, you know, some marking. But obviously that would become too apparent, right? And then that person would obviously be known in society. But Allah says you'll know them by their lahnul qawl, the way they speak, their false words. They'll say certain things, and the way that they speak and the words that they speak, the things that they mention, when you pay close attention to them, then you begin to recognize that this is a munafiq, because a mu'min would never speak like that. But again, this becomes a challenge for the believers in general, because that means we need to, you know the ayat of the Quran, know the hadith, we need to know, to an extent, human psychology now. Because you will have people who will speak, and you won't be able to tell, is this person honest and truthful, or are there signs of hypocrisy? And if you don't know human psychology and human behavioral patterns, how humans speak, you know, there are sciences, I'm sure, out there in the world where you can judge people by how they talk, right? This is even for many people, you can sometimes tell. You're with somebody and they're saying certain things and you can tell they're lying. You know, maybe they begin to fidget with their hands, or maybe their eyes begin to blink more, right? There's sometimes some indicators that people will give off when they're lying. So Allah says you're going to know the hypocrites by what He calls lahn al-qawl, false tone of their speech, not necessarily the words they are saying, but even the style of how they speak. Right? Again, maybe there are indicators that will give off why or how you can tell that they're hypocrites. This phrase, lahnul qawl, is interesting because this only comes up one time in the Quran. Never again does Allah use this. Just like that previous word was used only twice in the Quran in this chapter, this lahnul qawl, which we can translate as false tone and style of speech, which is the way that the heartless hypocrites can be recognized by their insidious and hypocritical insinuations, is only used in this verse of the Quran. Although we have Surah Al-Munafiqun, which speaks directly to the hypocrites, although many ayat of the Quran speak about hypocrisy and nifaq and give descriptions of them, but this is the only time where Allah uses this particular term. So again, these terms become important for us to read, reflect upon, go to other commentaries to see how other ulama have defined this. Where if there's no other precedent in the Quran, then how do we understand this? You know, this is again what I've mentioned in the past, and I'll mention it again, that it's not enough to only know the Arabic of the Quran. You can be a fluent Arab, but a lot of these ayat you will not understand until you go to hadith. Hadith, because obviously other than the ayat of the Quran, because the Quran interprets the Quran, but when you don't have another verse of the Quran that says lahn al-qawl, you're stuck. You need to go to find out how the Prophet, how the Imams, how the Arabs in general use this term in their era. Maybe go to an Arabic dictionary. It'll give you some guidance. There's a great multi-volume book in Arabic called Al-Tahqiq, written by Allama Mustafawi, if I'm not mistaken. Multi-volume, unfortunately, it's only in Arabic. There's no translation. But he reviews every single word of the Quran, word by word. It's like a 15 or 20 volume encyclopedia of every single word of the Quran. And he breaks it down from other grammatical points, from other dictionaries, how the word was used, which gives us a better understanding of the usage of a word. Because as you and I know, words go through changes in meaning over the time. Even if today, if you go home and you look at any English word, go on to Google and type in etymology and the word you want, it'll show you on Google from when that word became established in English language. And it'll give you a graph of through the last 100, 200 years, how frequent was that word used and has it fallen out of usage in English. And this will show us how words have a life of their own. They go in peaks, people use it, and then they die out, right? And we have to do the same for the Arabic if we want to truly understand these ayat. In addition to the Quran and books of tafsir, we go to such resources which will help us understand and chart the usage of these kinds of words. So this theme that Allah is talking about, this lahn al-qawl, in his tafsir, Ayatollah Nasir Makarim says that one of the things that these hypocrites would do is that whenever there was talk of jihad, as we had seen a few verses ago early on when the call came for qital, to fight, to do jihad, they would kind of take a back seat because now they kept telling the Prophet, we want more ayat, we want more surahs, we want more responsibility. And then when the call came for qital, they were kind of scared because they didn't want to fight, right? They don't want to lose their lives. They're looking at other comforts in life. So when there was talk of jihad, they try to weaken the will of the people. They would say, you know, let the Prophet and the other companions go. We'll stay back. We'll take care of the women and children in Medina. We don't all have to go to the battle. They'll come up with excuses to weaken the will. They'll tell others, we shouldn't all go. Let's stay back a bit. Or whenever there's talk of truth and justice, they would try to divert it to something else because a munafiq isn't on the path of truth. They don't want haq and the truth and justice to be prevalent because they're working against that, right? So they're going to try to divert that talk to something else. Right? You look at the world today. How many of these Western countries that are members of the United Nations and talk about free speech and democracy, then you go to Saudi Arabia, there's no democracy there. It's a kingdom, but yet they don't want to talk about, you know, justice and truth there. They want to impose democracy on Iraq and Afghanistan and Pakistan and Iran. We want them to be democratic, but you don't want Jordan to be democratic. You don't want Saudi to be democratic. Why? Is it because their oil is the best oil? You get it for the cheapest price? Hypocrites, literally. These governments are hypocrites. They don't believe in anything other than what money can get them and power can get them. Otherwise, they're ready to bomb and kill Saddam, get him out of office, and alhamdulillah, they got, you know, he was removed. And they want to do that to Iran to remove another Shia country. But why don't they go bomb Saudi Arabia? You know, go kill the king. Hang him like Saddam was hung. But they won't do it because his oil is too good. It's nice, sweet oil. And you've got bases in the Middle East. Now you can control Bahrain. You can watch over Iran. You can watch over Pakistan. You can watch over Afghanistan. You can watch over the Shias of the region of Lebanon. And so they won't talk about justice when it comes to their personal benefit. Right? Then there's no democracy. No, we're wanting them to go to a smooth transition to democracy. Well, you can bomb other countries into democracy. Why don't you bomb Saudi Arabia? So this is a hypocrisy in the 21st century at its finest right in front of us, brothers and sisters. There's no other way to talk about it. Look at Ukraine. Billions of dollars American government is pumping into weapons. Every week they're asking for more money for weapons and for this and for that. But then you look at the people of Yemen. You look at the Muslims of Palestine. 60 years they're suffering, occupying force, just like the Russians are occupying. Killing innocent people, just like the Palestinians are doing. This week, as we talked about it, they attack Masjid al-Aqsa in Jerusalem. I don't see any convoys of liberation coming to free the Palestinians. Houses are being bulldozed every day in territory they've stolen from the Palestinians, but there's no campaign to bomb Israel back to the days of, you know, prehistory as they did to Afghanistan and other countries. So again, it's a lack of truth and justice, which the Munafiqs have no sense of justice in this world. And whenever there's talk of the virtuous, the pious, the pioneers of religion, the hypocrites want to tarnish and discredit those individuals. Right? Again, character assassination, they try to do that to the Prophet. They try to do that to Imam Ali alayhi salam. They try to say he didn't pray, he didn't do this, he didn't do that. When Muawiyah couldn't, la'natullah alayhi, couldn't tackle Amir al-Mu'mineen and fight him man-to-man, one-to-one, on an even playing field, he would put out rumors that Ali doesn't pray namaz, he doesn't pray the salat, because he can't match a man like Ali. What are you going to do when you drink alcohol and your family are idol worshippers? How are you going to come and become the Khalifa of the Ummah and try to say you're at the same level as the cousin and the brother of the Prophet? And the one who is the nafs of Rasulullah, you can't do it. So you need to discredit Amir al-Mu'mineen. You need to tarnish his reputation. They did that to Imam Ali. They did that to Bibi Fatima. They did that to Imam Hassan alayhum as-salam. They did that to Sayyid al-Shuhada. They did that to the entire Ahlul Bayt. Because Banu Umayyah, Banu Abbas, they can't touch these people. You can't touch anybody that Allah has purified. So you try and do whatever else you can against them. But Allah will show us, and their tricks will come out into the world, and they will be exposed for the people that they are. Salu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. This phrase, lahnul qawl, I'm going to give you a couple of hadith. I think there's about 3 or 4 hadith, 2 from the Shia and 2 from the Sunni books of hadith. What does this phrase mean? Because it means the... At one level, it means the hypocrites, as we've been looking at. But how do you and I define, and how do we tell who is a hypocrite? Right? Again, people might not want to hear this because people say, you know, we have to be united. We can't have friction in the ummah. Allah would never expose these people. But we see in the Quran, Allah is exposing them. And we'll see in the hadith where there are clear examples that all Muslims agree upon, on how to define lahnul qawl, who is a munafiq. So this first hadith is in Bihar al-Anwar, and these are quoted by Ayatollah Nasir Makarim as well, if I'm not mistaken. From his tafsir, I've taken them. So in the Shia Hadith, we have this example where this individual named Muhammad ibn Ali or somebody else had related from Imam As-Sadiq, peace be upon him. He said to Imam As-Sadiq, did Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman, whom I spoke about the other night, did he know the hypocrites, the munafiqeen? And the sixth Imam says, yes, he knew 12 of the hypocrites. Remember I told you that story of the boulder they tried to push on the Prophet? So the sixth Imam says, Hudhayfa knew 12 of the hypocrites of Medina. But the Imam says, you know 12,000 of them. And then the Imam quoted this verse of the Quran that we're looking at, where he says that you will know them by lahnul qawl. And so the Imam asked this companion, do you know what lahnul qawl is? And the companion says, no, wallah, I don't know what this means. Teach me, O Imam. And the Imam says, I swear by the Lord of the Kaaba, it means having a hatred for the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali alayhi salatu wassalam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So the sixth Imam is telling us the same thing that Rasulullah told Amir al-Mu'mineen, if you remember that hadith. The Prophet said to Ali, he said, Ya Ali, no one will love you except a mu'min, a believer, and no one will hate you except a munafiq. Right? That is one of the indicators. If you find somebody who hates Imam Ali, and they say to you, I hate Ali and this and that, that man is a munafiq, that woman is a munafiq, no doubt about it. They could pray taraweeh, they could pray namaz all day and night, fast Ramadan, go for hajj. But if they say one word against Imam Ali, their fate is sealed. They're in hell, at the lowest pit of hell. Unless they change their ways, apologize, ask Allah for apology, ask Imam Ali to forgive them for their harsh and abrasive words against the commander of the faithful, they're at the level of the worst and of the worst. So this is a hadith from the sixth Imam, Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam. Another example we have is from our fifth Imam, Imam Muhammad ibn Ali al-Baqir alayhi salatu wassalam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. The fifth Imam has been quoted as saying that indeed Allah Azza wa Jal has taken a covenant, an ahd of the walaya of a walaya from our Shia, and we the Ahlul Bayt know them by the tone of their speech, by lahnul qawl. In other words, the sixth Imam is saying that when you take that pledge of being a follower of Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam, that is your pledge. Right? You're not going to be a munafiq then, because now you're on the path of walaya. You're not flip-flopping, you're not going towards others and leaving the Prophet and his family alayhi wasalam alone. So again, another example we have in hadith of a definition of what lahnul qawl is. I'll end in the next couple of minutes with two more hadith, and this from the Sunni perspective. Again, because I want to show you that it's not only us who believe Amir al-Mu'mineen is the criterion for haq and batil. He is the mizan, he is the scale that everybody will be weighed against on the Day of Judgment. All of the actions of the believers, of Muslims rather, are going to be weighed against Amir al-Mu'mineen. And this isn't a Shia belief, this is a Muslim belief. So this is from the book, the Tafsir Ad-Dur al-Manthur, which is a very famous tafsir of the Quran compiled by a Sunni scholar named Imam Jalaluddin As-Suyuti, born in Egypt. He died in the year 900 after the Hijra, 1505 of our era, so about 500 years ago, 517 years ago, he passed away. He writes a multi-volume tafsir of the Quran, Ad-Dur al-Manthur fi Tafsir al-Ma'thur. Unfortunately, it's not in English from what I've seen, but it is. This is the scans online from the print of Beirut, from Darul Fikr. So he wrote this tafsir, which was based on hadith of the Prophet, the companions, and the tabi'in, those who came after the companions. So he does tafsir of Quran strictly through hadith. He'll bring a verse or multiple ayat, and then he'll go through a hadith that talk about that verse. So this is found in his commentary. Two hadith we'll give, both on the same page, from the same volume, and from page 504. Again, it's called Surah Al-Qital, as we talked about the first night. Surah Muhammad is also known as Surah Al-Qital. And so he quotes two hadith. The first one comes from Abu Sa'id Al-Khudri, a companion of the Prophet, where he said in regards to the words of Allah, ولتعرفنهم في اللحن القول, that you'll know them from their لحن القول. He said that this means the hatred for Ali ibn Abi Talib. The second hadith, right after it again, he quotes this time from Ibn Mas'ud, another companion of the Prophet, where he said that we would never be able to recognize the hypocrites, the munafiqeen, during the lifetime of the Prophet, except through their hatred for Ali ibn Abi Talib, alayhi salatu wassalam. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Brothers and sisters, it can't be any more obvious than the black on white. Non-Shia commentators of the Quran are telling their own Sunnis, if you want to know the criterion between Iman and Kufr, of faith and disbelief or hypocrisy, it's your love or hate for Imam Ali. If you don't like Imam Ali, you don't like to hear his name, you enjoy hearing Muawiyah send lanat upon him as Muawiyah did for years, as Banu Umayyah did for three generations. If you enjoy that and you support Muawiyah la'natullah alayh in his cursing attempts to vilify the commander of the faithful, then you are an individual who has a problem in your heart. You have worse than a problem in your heart, you have the seed of hypocrisy. Because these are two prominent companions in the book of Tafsir. I'm not making this up. I'm not saying this is from Al-Kafi or Al-Istibsar or whatever other Shia book. No, this is from the books of the Ahl Sunnah. When companions wanted to know what path a person was on, they looked, do you like Ali or do you hate Ali? If you hate Imam Ali, then you're not on the path of Islam. It's simple as that. The Prophet never said this about anybody else. You don't see the Prophet saying this about any companion. It was always about Imam Ali. You hate Ali, you hate the Prophet. You curse Ali, you've cursed the Prophet. You curse the Prophet, you curse Ali, you've cursed Allah. You said lanat on Ali, it's as if you said lanat on Allah. Prophet didn't say that about anybody else in the Ummah, of the companions I mean, other than the family. They were of a unique caliber. And by the family, I don't mean the wives and the general. I mean those specific members, what we call the Panjatan, that those people that the Prophet would mention, the four, which is Ali, Fatima, Hassan, and Hussein, alayhumus salatu wassalam.